rumor has it that somebody told the Rosh Yeshiva years ago that the best thing that came out of the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael was the minig of Thursday night shalant. You know, back in the day in America, Thursday night shalant didn't really exist. When I was a kid, it wasn't a thing. Eventually, it ended up being in the Texaco in Muncie. But they brought it from Eretz Yisrael, the Thursday night thing from Eretz Yisrael. But one thing I don't know if it's made it yet to America, but it's definitely a big thing in Eretz Yisrael, and you know, it will get there, and that's the idea of pitzuchim shops. Pitzuchim, you know, every place has to have the pitzuchim shops. You know, you've got your garinim, and you've got your peanuts, and you know, whatever. In Chicago, where my wife grew up, they had this place, Illinois Nut, but it's not a pitzuchim shop. Pitzuchim shop, you know, now we have one in Telstone too. You've got one in the Merchevet. You go up to Rehov Shmuel Anavi, that's the pitzuchim capital of the world up there. And, you know, it's a culture. It's a culture. And when the yeshiva used to be in a different location, the yeshiva used to be in closer to Geula, and it's interesting, my buses all used to go to Telstone from Geula in those days. So the bus stop was right in front of this pitzuchim shop called Madane Gan Eden. It still exists. Like everything else, a lot fancier now than it used to be. But Madane Gan Eden. And like Gan Eden, I mean, okay, Gan Eden conjures up images of what's Gan Eden. Gan Eden is not a place on earth anymore. It's, you know, Gan Eden is Olam Haba. That's what we mean when we say he's going to go to Gan Eden. On the other hand, we know that Adam Arishan was placed in a place called Gan Eden. Now go find it on Google Maps. It's not there. Where's this Gan Eden? But apparently, this concept of Gan Eden refers to a place where Shemayim meets Aretz, where heaven meets earth, and it touches. And it's a very special place. And there's a Gan Eden above, and there's a Gan Eden below, whether it exists, whether it doesn't exist, whether it really was in the, whatever it means. A special place called Gan Eden with special rules. And it's something that we really all want a piece of. In a very similar type of way, I think about this all the time when Davin, Kabbalah Shabbos, the second stanza in L'cha Daidi, L'kra Shabbos L'chu V'ne'elcha. You know, let's go towards Shabbos. Ki hi mekoyer ha-bracha. Don't forget about that. How do you get bracha? How do you become rich? Spiritually, physically, monetarily? Shabbos. You appreciate Shabbos, that's the Makor HaBracha. Okay? Meroish Mikedem Nesucha, from the very beginning, Shabbos was designated as what? Soif Maaseh B'machshava Tchila. What does that mean? Soif Maaseh B'machshava Tchila. So poetically what it means is Soif Maaseh, it's the time that we do the least Maasim, we don't go to work, we don't do the malachas. But machshava tchila, you have a quiet day, you have a time to learn, you have a time to think. That's a simple pshat. But the more common pshat over here is seif masiv and machshava tchila, is that Shabbos is the day that really fulfills what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted out of the world. This was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought about creating a world, what did he have in mind? Shabbos. Yeah, that fit. The Torah says, we say it in Kiddush, Asher Bara Lakim, Lasois. We're supposed to do. Shabbos is not doing anything. So you put the two of them together. Sof Maaseh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thought, is B'machshava Tchila, is that Shabbos is the way that the world should look. But apparently Shabbos is the Maisa. Shabbos is the physical manifestation of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Why? Because Shabbos is Me'in Olam Haba. It's in this world, but it's not in this world. Just like Gan Eden. It's the meeting place, it's the passageway of where we are going on to somewhere else. And if you're in Gan Eden, or if you're in the world of Shabbos, then everything is perfect. Everything is serene, everything is harmonious, there's no problems. But we don't live in that world. We live in a world that's a mess. And maybe our job is to try to fix up that world a little bit. But it's important to know that there's a tachlis of the world, Seif Masav Machshava Tchila, of Gan Eden, and then there's the actual world that we find ourselves in. And the key is to have your eye on the ball that we got to get back there, but not to get frustrated and not to get cynical, Chas V'Shalom, to appreciate what we have, but just to realize that there's different tachlis. And that's a message that comes out of Avraham Avinu in this week's parsha. Soon say goodbye to Avraham Avinu. But this is really the last parsha of Avraham Avinu, the last maybe Nisayan of Avraham Avinu in the Maris HaMachpelah. Parsha starts off, Vayu Chaye Sarah Meir Shana Vesim Shana Vesheva Shanim. Sarah passes on from the scene. And Avraham Avinu has to go get a kever. He has to be maspid Sarah. And he ends up haggling in negotiations with Bnei Ches. He buys the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Now, there's a very wild Rabbeinu Yoina in Pirkei Avos. Say it's wild, because if you think about what he's saying, it's an incredible thing. Everybody knows, the Mishnah tells us, Aser Nisyenis Nisasa Avraham Avinu V'Amad B'Kulam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu 10 Nisyenis. Roiv Rishayim say that what was the 10th of the Nisyenis, what was the hardest, what was the Makiv HaPatish, you know, the killer of all of them, was the Akedah. With the entire destiny that Avraham Avinu was promised, he says, no, you're going to shecht it on the Mizbeach. And Avraham Avinu passed that one, and that's it. Zak Rabbeinu Yoina, it ain't so. Rabbeinu Yoina says, Ha'asiri, what was the 10th? He counts all of them. Kavura Sarah, was burying Sarah. Shenemar loy, kum isalech beretz l'ark l'rachbak ilchayet nena. Avraham Avinu is told to walk all of Eretz Yisrael. Because he's going to give him Eretz Yisrael. Ukishemesa ishtai, and when his wife dies, loy matza makayim lekavra, he didn't find any place to bury her, ad shekena'ai, until he bought it, the lahira. And he didn't complain. Whoop-de-doo, what's the big deal? I mean, he was promised it. He was promised it. He didn't get it yet. You want it now, you got to pay. But it's even worse than that. It's worse than that because you're already past the Akedah. What's there to do after the Akedah? So you have to pay Ephron and you have to pay the Bnei Ches a couple of bucks? Even if they overcharge you. Big deal. You are Oymed on the Akedah. What's left to prove? Your entire future is taken away from you. There's not going to be a Yitzchak. There's not going to be a future. And you pass that. So for a couple of bucks, that's a Nisayan for Avraham Avinu. What's he talking about? Another inyan is the Ma'aras HaMachpelah itself. We talked about this more in depth last year, I think. But the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, why is it called Machpelah? A different pshatim, every kid knows, you know, two floors. Or Machpelah is because of the zugais, because of the couples that are there. The Medrash over here says two other pshatim. He says, Machpelah, why was it called Machpelah? The cave was not Machpelah, the Sada was Machpelah. Melamed shenichpelu be'enei kol echad ve'echad. Once Avraham Avinu bought it, so then the real estate went through the roof. The Mefarshim say because a reich of Gan Eden came over Maris HaMachpelah and everybody realized a special place and therefore the price went up double, triple, quadruple, whatever. That's one pshat. Another pshat Shekol mishu kavur betaycha vatuach sheskarai kafel umekufel. Anybody who is buried there is batuach that he has double schar. Okay, so if you ask me or anybody, you know, just colloquially, what does that mean? That means, okay, anybody there was like a big person, you know. Kefal, keflayim, schar, lots and lots and lots of schar. But the svarim say it's quite a bit deeper than that. Kafal and mekufal b'scharai means that Marasa Machpela, however you understand this, again, you know, it's not on Google Maps, but it's at the Pesach of Gan Eden. It's the bridge between heaven and earth. And any person who was zeched to be buried there, their oilam hazeh and their oilam haba is an exact shichpul, it's an exact kefil, it's an exact carbon copy, one or the other. L'dugma, everybody, you know, comes into this world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a potential, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a plan. If you do it 1,000,000% right, what happens to you? You maximize your potential, but more than that, your Olam Hazeh is an Olam Haba. What a thrill to live such a life. What a thrill not to be Mevatel one instant. What a thrill to be doing Torah and Mitzvahs constantly. What a thrill not to be jealous and to be perfect. Your Olam Hazeh is an Olam Haba, and then after it's all over, you take away the shades, he goes right into Olam Haba. That's all the people who are in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Batuach shekefal keflayim b'schara. They're going to get the schara mekufal. They're the double people. Very interesting. But what's this got to do with Avraham Avinu and the Nisayim? Maybe it's half of an answer to the question. One more thing to throw in over here. This is a shtickle drushy, but I think it works with the whole picture. What big thing, you know, Maseches Kiddushin, what do we learn now from Stei Efron? Kicha, kicha, kinyan kesef. Isn't it weird? Kinyan kesef, when you think about kinyan kesef, what are you buying? You're buying a house, you're buying a field. Maybe without the Takana Derabbanan Meshicha, you're buying a shore, you're buying a chamor, but you're buying property. It's mine. I possess it. What are we learning it onto? An Isha. You don't own an Isha. What happens is it's a chalais. It's a chalais Ishus. Chalais Ishus, like we saw a couple of weeks ago, what happens with that chalais Ishus? Yishtai Kegufay. There's a fusion of two. Beforehand, he was just himself. Now the wife becomes part of him, and he part of her. What does that have to do with Ma'aras HaMachpelah? Maybe it's just in the Maisa Kinyan, or maybe there's something deeper. Maybe there's a fusion in every Kinyan, and Ma'aras HaMachpelah is totally reflective of that. So what's the big deal of the Nisayan of buying Ma'aras HaMachpelah? How does this whole idea of schari kefu mechupo, that he's batuach, that he gets double schar, how does that play into the picture? And finally, what's this got to do with kicha kicha yisteyefrim? I don't know what the percentage of people in the room is. Probably pretty high. People grew up in the northeast United States. But anybody who didn't, you know, Nebuch, the people who grew up in L.A. or even England, most probably, you know, guys don't understand what it means to have a snow day. I mean, that was a major part of my youth. You have a forecast now here in Israel. They're all excited. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. Is it really going to rain? I don't know. But they're excited. It's going to rain. You know, everyone's talking it's going to rain. It's going to snow. And you get home from school, and you're excited it's going to snow. And you're listening to the radio, did it really snow? You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Is it snowing yet? You know, you're looking over there. Ah, the flakes are coming down. And look, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, it's coming down in sheets. And then the best part comes. You turn on the radio, right? I don't know if they still have radios. Maybe you turn on the computer nowadays, but we turn on the radio, and you wait until they say, Yeshiva Spring Valley classes are canceled. Or Yeshiva Spring Valley, 12 o'clock start. And then you start dancing. I mean, it's just, you take your brother, mom, it's just, you know, okay, what you're going to do the rest of the day, we don't know yet. But that's what it is. Until I got to high school. When I got to high school, Rabbi Wein, Secher Tzadik Livracha, had this crazy rule, probably because he's from Chicago, where, like, you know, they're born in snow, that there's no such a thing as a snow day. All right, you can't make the English teachers come in, so there's not going to be English. Some of the Rabbeim were a little older, they're too far to walk, but basically the ones who are close, you come. It's Limud HaTorah, you don't cancel Limud HaTorah, and that's it. I always lived within a couple of blocks, you know, 10-minute walk, you know, whatever it is. So I always, you know, never. It was an adventure to be there, too. It wasn't so bad. But I remember being there one time, and I was with a friend of mine, and, you know, he was really just not happy about the situation, to put it mildly. And he's got this long face on his, you know, and Rabbi Wein is there in the hall, and he says to him, Morty, how you doing? And he just looks and he couldn't control himself. He said, Rebbe, it's not fair. So a heintige machanech, you know, a machanech from today would give you a whole musa shmuz. You know what I mean? Limud HaTorah, we don't push it off for anything. And we're the ones who are holding up the room, world and the nefesh hachayim and the whole business, and we've got to be, he didn't say any of that. You look back at him, he said, Morty, life is not fair. Didn't answer the question at all, right? Life is not fair. And the faster you learn that and the better you learn that, the better off you're going to be. There are people who are smart, there are people not so smart. There are people who are always healthy as a horse, and there are people who are sickly. There are people who, you know, everybody seems to love them, and there are other people, you know, what? It's just not fair. You go to the store and the guy rips you off, it's not fair. But there's one of two approaches you could take to that. One is just sit there licking your wounds the whole time and crying over the fact that it's not fair and it's not the way that I feel that it ought to be. The other is just listen, that's life. Until we get back to Gan Eden, until we get to Yom Shekulei Tov, Yom Shekulei Aruch, until this world ends up looking like Olam Haba, we have to realize that we're here because of the fact that it's imperfect and because of the fact that it's not fair, and our job is to try to work to make it a little bit better. Avraham Avinu went and bought Ma'aras HaMachpelah. He was promised Eretz Yisrael, but he found Ma'aras HaMachpelah, and he was sensitive to the fact that Ma'aras HaMachpelah was a very, very special place. Ma'aras HaMachpelah was the place where heaven touched earth. It was a place where only the people whose heaven was an exact replica of their earth, their Olam Hazeh and their Olam Haba was Hainu Hach, that's where they were buried. That's the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Ma'aras HaMachpelah, when you buy it with Kesef, what happened when you buy it with Kesef? The Artzi Yishabai and the Shemayim Shabai fused and became one. That's what Avraham Avinu did when he made that kinyan. And when you get such a thing and you were promised that you're going to get Eretz Yisrael, what's your expectation of how it's going to happen? One day you're walking on the street, and all of a sudden you get to this cave or you get to this sada, and you see swirling angels all around, and nice, floaty music, and all of a sudden you just that's a wonderful place for Sarah to be buried or whatever, and every or if Ephron had it or the Chitim had it, or they're all going to run away. You have to sit and deal with a mafia. You have to sit and deal with Ephron, who's like Mr. Ayin Ra. Ephron, who's Mr. Greedy. And not only that, you have to pay and actually pay. Moshe Shapiro makes the point, the Akedah was a big Nisayan, but at the end of the day, he didn't have to Shech Yitzchak. But this, every time Avraham Avinu looks at Maris HaMachpelah, what's going through his mind? I got gypped. I paid 14 times the price. You ever pay 14 times the price for something and then look at it afterwards? Every time you feel stupid. And over here, it's such a miraculous place. It's such a symbolic place. And that to be able to go and to take this place by getting ripped off, it's not fair. It's not fair. Every time we look at it, it's not fair. That was the Nisayon. That's what Rabbeinu Yoina says. After all the Akedah, to be able to live with a situation where you actually had to pay out for it, and every time you look at the Maris HaMachpelah, where you have all of the Shemayim V'aretz joining, it's a special, special place, and not to kick yourself, it's not fair, that was the godless of Avraham Avinu. Didn't affect him at all. He overlooked that. And with that, he was able to charge into the rest of his future. I'll just end off by saying, talking a little bit before, but I remember back in the day, they made it into a yontif in this country. Shabbos Chevron, they call it, whatever. Maris HaMachpelah, I think there was a time where Maris HaMachpelah was open to the public. And it became a very popular thing. And every year, the Rosh Hashiva and the Mashkiach, and they all used to say, don't go to Chevron or whatever, don't go to Chevron, don't go to Chevron. All the new Yavim Tovim that they made up in this country. For whatever reason, it doesn't happen anymore. I don't know whether it's too dangerous or whatever it is. But Lemaisa, if you think about it, if you think about what Maris HaMachpelah really is, Maris HaMachpelah is that place where you have the opening to Gan Eden. It's the place where Shemayim and Aretz are exactly the same. It's a place which is supposed to reflect Me'ein Olam Haba, just like Shabbos and just like the real Gan Eden. I can't think of any place on earth that's truer to that than just being in a Beis Medrash. Most people in their lives, so you have two parts. You have the way you spend most of your day, you're working, you're out there in the field, and then you have a couple of hours at night, or the time that you daven, it's a very, very hard to feel like you're living in Olam Haba that way. You can do it. You can do it, but it's a hard stretch. On the other hand, the years that you're in yeshiva, where all you're really doing all day long, fine, you take a couple of minutes to play basketball, you take a couple of minutes to do whatever other fun things you like to do, but basically your entire day is filled up with Avodas Hashem. You're living in Gan Eden. And you might not appreciate it now, but 10 years from now you realize I never had it that good. People always daven during Elul, you always say it, the song Shivtu Beis Hashem Kol Yimei Chaye, and they don't just mean a Beis Medrash, they mean that the whole world should be my Beis Medrash. But it's pashut, and people should take chizuk from it, because, people are knocking away, people learning very, very well, people putting away sugyas, people developing their skills, people growing as people, and growing in their Yiddishkeit. That's Gan Eden. That's what the world was intended to be. And that's really what Shabbos is intended to be also. We should all be zeichet to get there with the programs, without the programs, whatever it is. But Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. We don't have to do anything. The only thing that we have to do is just steig. Just sit and learn and think and exist within the presence of Hashem. And that's what Olam Haba is all about. In our mind, it's two different places. But in the mind of the Avos, the Imahos, in the eyes of Adam and Chava, in the eyes of the Maris HaMachpelah itself, it's an exact replica. this world and the next world, it's all one thing. Shall be zeche to continue to use our experience in the Beis Medrash to build ourselves into Olam Haba people, even while we're in this world, and to live a life in this world, which is a life of Olam Haba, and Be'ezer Hashem, all during our life, and after 120, get to the next place. So it really should all be kefel kiflayim. It should be an exact replica where Shemayim touches Aretz. And Shabbos.